All right. Love that song. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show on TSN Radio 690. I'm Dave Kaufman, joined this week by John Kakalakis. Hello, John.
How are you doing, Dave?
I'm well, man. I'm well. I'm not as good as I would have been if that had been an exciting, crazy football game. I mean, it was close, but the air just fell out of Lambeau Field the second that Rodgers got hurt.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That ended up being a battle of the backup quarterbacks.
And you know what? I mean, great job by Josh McCown, Chicago Bears.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thought it was really interesting before the game on ESPN. They go through everybody with their picks, right? And everybody gives the who's going to win the game. And across the board, it's Green Bay. And then you get to Ditka. And Ditka, of course, who was dressed like a hipster tonight. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter.
I missed that one, actually.
He kind of looked like Mike Spry a bit. He had the real hipster look going on. And yeah, he picked the Bears. So Ditka looks like a genius, which is always hilarious
to me. The Bears
could
have been the Jacksonville Jaguars of this year. He would have still picked the Bears.
Ditka. You're right. You're right. You got to stick with your own, right?
But yeah, absolutely. But it just shows the importance of a star quarterback.
Oh, my goodness. It neutralized every other anything but Green Bay's running game.
Completely changes their game plan. And even though they've had a pretty decent running game, the Green Bay Packers.
Well, yeah,
that
Eddie
is.
Lacy looked amazing tonight.
I mean, you don't have an Aaron Rodgers, you just become an average team all of a sudden.
And that Green Bay team has been just decimated by injuries. They kept showing Clay Matthews on the sidelines. We all heard about JerMichael Finley being in the intensive care unit. Safe game, this football.
Oh, yeah,
real
very safe,
safe game.
Yeah.
You know, when it's not messing with your brain, it's every other part of your body.
Absolutely. But it's been year in and year out for the Green Bay Packers. Even the year they won the Super Bowl in 2010, they were decimated. They just, you know, gelled at the right time.
Well, they always seem to be able to find a receiver or to find a guy to fill the hole, except for a quarterback, where you know that they aren't going anywhere without Aaron Rodgers, and that was plain as day today. And full credit to Mark Trestman. They obviously had the game plan to win the football game today.
You know what? I think it was a must-win for the Bears. If they lose this game, they go down 2.5 games behind the Green Bay Packers.
And now it's a jumble. Everybody's tied. All the division records are the same. And everybody but the poor Vikings, I guess.
For the poor Vikings. And they were a playoff team last year, you know?
Yeah, and they were right in it on Sunday against Dallas.
They could have won that game yesterday. And then, you know, how would they have felt right now looking at the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers and the Bears without Jay Cutler? But, hey, that's the NFL, eh?
And not only is that the NFL, but always, as always, and it seems like every week on The Kaufman Show, we do talk about the NFL, but not on the field. Often the most interesting story in the NFL is going on off the field. And there's plenty to talk about this week. Of course, we're going to be joined by Bruce Arthur in about 20 minutes time to talk about this Dolphins mess. And I say that as a Dolphins fan. I am embarrassed right now. This is you have to think this is deeper than just the Dolphins, that this is across the board, the bullying and the hazing. But Richie Incognito.
Richie Incognito. First it was the Bounty Gate. Now it's this. I mean, there's a lot of things when you're talking about off-field issues.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much that obviously we don't know that goes on.
Figure Joe Philbin's going to lose his job over this.
He takes full blame?
Well, I think he has to.
Absolutely.
That it's happening under his nose, even if the fact that he's unaware of it makes it even weirder. And then, of course, we had two coaches drop like flies this weekend. John Fox in Denver and Gary Kubiak in Texas.
Live on television.
Which really just shows how stressful that job is.
And think about the Houston Texans. They were up 21-3.
I know.
Imagine if they were down 21-3.
I felt bad for Kubiak because you know that he went through whatever tests he went through. And, you know, he left, I don't know what state, mental state he left the field in. I mean, you saw him collapse and then get carried off on a stretcher, which Bob Costas called a gurney during the halftime thing. I thought that was really morbid and wrong. And
Bob Costas always comes out with these.
Well, no, he just misappropriated the word and it happens. But yeah, that was scary stuff. And again, you know, you hear about how the long days and the long hours that these guys work. And I mean, obviously it's crazy stressful, but wow, this is just proof of it.
I'm a New York Giants fan. So
I know,
I just
and I'm
think
sorry.
Of Coach Coughlin. No, don't be sorry. Two championships in 5 years. I sleep good at night. But Coach Coughlin, 66 years old, and you look at that energy on the sidelines and what it demands to be an NFL coach or an assistant coach and all the hours they put in. I give credit to these gentlemen, but I mean,
well, a lot of the old guys too, that they don't know anything else. It's like Bear Bryant always said that the second he'd stop coaching, he'd die. And he did 2 months later. And I mean, the circumstances are completely different, but you saw the same thing with Paterno. I don't know how long Tom Landry lasted after he stopped coaching
not
football,
sure.
but not a very long time.
Mind you, Paterno had to deal with
well, that's
what
I'm saying. That's
yeah,
what I'm saying,
obviously.
Why it's not the same. Yeah. But I mean, he also held firmly on that belief that this is all he can do.
Marv Levy's still going strong, right?
Yes, Marv Levy is still going strong and still involved in football.
Yeah.
I know he still does stuff with the Bills. I'm not sure how deep in it he is. Jimmy G is on the board. Hello, Jimmy.
Gentlemen, how are you this evening?
Well, how are you, man?
I'm very well.
Thanks for coming in tonight.
It's never a problem.
A late-minute pinch-hitting assignment.
This is never a problem to work with David Kaufman and Mr. Kakalak.
Hey, aren't you swell?
Thank you.
I replaced one Greek with another. You like how I did that?
Well, two Greeks, because I wasn't supposed to be here originally.
That's
so
true.
Two Greeks are replacing two people.
There you go. You're absolutely right.
Ethnic evening.
It's always an ethnic evening on the Kaufman Show, and it's often an ethnic evening in the city of Montreal.
Just the way we love it.
That's right. It's the way it's supposed to be. Did you vote yesterday, John?
Actually, I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
no,
man. Jimmy, did you vote?
I was here at the station
all day. Wow.
So I have
two.
A good excuse for not
well, no,
doing
you,
my
you could have voted last week, too, Jimmy.
You could have voted last week, or you could have voted at any time from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m.,
I believe. Was the percentage turnout in Montreal for the municipal election?
It was up 5 points from the last time. I think it was around 40.
Okay, so I
39%
good.
To be exact.
39, okay. And I know it was up 5 points from the last time. I voted for the first time ever in a municipal election.
Even after what has transpired? I mean, I lost so much confidence in...
No, that inspired me to vote.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that's why there was a bit of a bump in the numbers, because I've never cared about a municipal election before. It's never been on my radar. I'm really into politics, but only in the last couple of years have I realized the importance of the politics that's the closest to you. It affects you the most.
Well, that's what you
I could argue that it's more important to vote in a municipal election than it is in a federal one.
That's what they say. That's what they say. It's funny. I just want to tell you a story. A couple of weeks ago, I had a guy knock on my door.
Uh-huh.
He gives me his card. He presents himself. He tells me I'm this and this
sure.
party. And he just starts blabbing, and I just cut him off. Don't waste your time. I won't be voting.
Oh,
he should have seen his face.
Wow.
Just grabbed his card, turned around, and walked away.
Yeah, and deservedly so, because the guy's trying to knock on 10,000 doors between now and the election, and he can't waste his 2 seconds on a guy who can't bother to go vote.
No, I won't go vote. Not at least. I need to gain their confidence back, you know?
Well, it's a bit of a chicken and the egg scenario then, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is. But that's the way I see it personally now, and I'd like to go vote next time, and hopefully things turn out.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
You need someone to tell you they'll bring a ball team back and guarantee it, right?
Well, somebody did say that. We'll see if
I think a few have said it. I know that Mayor-elect Coderre had campaigned on the fact that he was a huge Expos fan, but he never straight out said, like, vote for me and I'll bring the Expos back. And he was asked about it today at a press conference and said, let's deal with the potholes first. I'm paraphrasing, but... And I get that. I totally get that.
You got to be politically correct too, eh?
Man,
you gotta
potholes are going
to
ruin all
everybody.
Our cars. Yeah. Those potholes are going to be the death of us all. John, you going to do a sports update at midnight?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Jimmy, let's take a little break and we will come back on The Kaufman Show on TSN 690 in Montreal. I am at The Kaufman Show on Twitter. John... is at the John Kay Show. And Jay Farrar is at home. But you can still follow him at the Farrar site, and he'll be back next Monday. John's got your sports update, and we'll be back. Here they have a lot of fun, putting trouble on the run. Man, you find the old and young, twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting. Twisting there, twisting the night away. I'm ahead, I'm the man, I'm the first mammal to wear pants, yeah. I'm at peace with my lust, I can kill cause in God I trust, yeah. It's evolution, baby, yeah. I'm the beast, I'm the man, I'm the stocks on the day of the crash, yeah. On the lunch, I'm a chug, all around in here I flatten out, yeah. It's hard behavior. It's evolution, baby. On The Kaufman Show, welcome back. Dave Kaufman, John Kakalakis filling in for Jay Farrar tonight. Jimmy G on the board. Boy, not much evolution going on in the NFL locker room, huh?
Not in the Miami one, at least.
Not in most, I would imagine. I think this is one of those stories where it has come about in Miami first, and we will start hearing about other examples later. Sort of like with Bountygate, we heard things from other teams. Nothing is as huge as with New Orleans, but other guys came out and talked about that culture being pervasive across the league. Let's bring in our first guest of the evening. Writes for the National Post, my favorite follow on Twitter. He's Bruce Arthur. Hello, Bruce.
Gentlemen, Dave, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, actually. I had Green Bay covering the spread tonight. So,
yeah, so did I.
Other than that, everything's great.
Yeah, but we had like 2.5 hours to wrap our heads around the fact that we weren't going to be covering.
Yeah, but Josh McCown still was involved. At a certain point in the evening, I accepted that, yeah, Josh McCown's better than I thought.
See, this is the beauty of the NFL and the NFL machine. And I had this conversation a few weeks ago with Mark Fainaruwata, who wrote League of Denial, about how on one side, there's just this horrible culture and we can spend so much time talking about it and concentrating on it. And on the other hand, hey, look, it's football.
You know what? That's almost perfectly put. And this story was Richie Incognito and bullying and really an awful, awful culture in the locker room. It's only just one more example of that, because what you've got with the NFL is this beautiful giant production, this incredible colossus, and the games are fun. The games are fun to gamble on. If you are into gambling on them, I don't think you'll do very well, but give it a shot. The fantasy football is fun. Watching 10 different football games at once is fun. And the appeal of the game is obvious. If you just look at the way it dominates, certainly American culture, in terms of the way it is just this big, unstoppable machine. But more and more what we're understanding, and we're really understanding it in the last, I'm going to go ahead and say 5 to 10 years, is that it is one of the best examples of the concept of how the sausage is made. The Farinu Brothers book, League of Denial, is a stunning work. Like, it's just an incredible work. And it tells you exactly what it took for the NFL to be the NFL and the way that they covered up head injuries, the way they pumped out junk science, all of that. And we were starting to see really what football does to people and all of that. And this, I mean, by comparison, is fairly small. But at the same time, what Richie Incognito did was really not just bully, but abuse a teammate. Take him for money. It was like high school, where it was the freshman in high school and the senior was taking his money and really going a lot further than that. And it's hard to imagine any other workplace in America where what Richie Incognito did wouldn't have immediately set off bells. But it's interesting. There's all the savagery in the NFL, all the kind of underlying fundamental savagery. When it comes to light, like in Bountygate, or like in this, or when it comes to concussions, the NFL doesn't really want to talk about it. They want to sell a very sanitized version of what they are. And every once in a while, and more, we're getting to see behind the curtain, and we're getting to see exactly what the NFL is, which is the closest thing to a gladiatorial situation that modern society essentially offers, other than perhaps boxing.
It's interesting that for a bully, and that's, like you said, it's 10 times worse, but for a bully, interesting that Incognito has his dad sticking up for him.
Well, yeah. And I mean, if you read into Richie Incognito's past, he was a kid. He was bullied as a kid. He had a lot of problems. I mean, he got kicked out of Nebraska, which I don't think Lawrence Phillips ever did. he's a troubled guy. And it sounds like his dad is probably at least part of the reason that he is a troubled guy. And the fact that your father is lurking on internet message boards and leaking confidential information about a teammate is pretty remarkable. But what's even more interesting to me is this. There were a couple different pieces that were written today that were really, really interesting on this. And one of them was by Tim Keown of ESPN.com, really one of my favorite writers, actually. And what he said is, the simple truth of the NFL is that it values a guy like Richie Incognito, a guy who threatens to kill a teammate, however much in jest, over text messages, who threw racial epithets at him, who just really is an awful human being. It values him a lot more than the guy he bullied. Jonathan Martin's parents went to Harvard, and he's a kind of thoughtful kid, and he's a giant. He's a huge 300-pound man. But the thoughtful ones, the ones who aren't psychopaths or sociopaths are less valued in the NFL because of what the NFL requires. And the other piece that was really interesting is written by John Trotter, Sports Illustrated. And he talked to a bunch of personnel guys in the NFL, and almost all of them said he should have handled this like a man. He should have walked up to Richie Incognito and settled this with a fight. He should have stood up for himself. Huh. Like a high school with no principals, but even worse, a high school where the people who are in charge, the teachers say, oh, you got a problem? Well, you better go and fight, because that's what we want to see. That's what we're going to grade you on. And that's the culture of the NFL. And you can find it abhorrent and you could find it disgusting. And I think there's a lot of people will, that this is how it's done. But this is what makes the NFL, is what makes this giant colossus that we enjoy so much. This is what creates 10 football games at once that you can watch, is that savagery and that lack of humanity underneath all of it. Because really, when you get down to it, the NFL, for a lot of the guys out there, especially on the defensive side of the ball, is about stripping away humanity almost any way you can.
Chatting with Bruce Arthur on the Kaufman Show, Bruce, sometimes the NHL has been accused or maybe complimented for trying to copy that savagery in a way to make itself more successful south of the border. I wanted to ask you about the Semyon Varlamov story. I know it's getting some press in Denver, but I don't feel like it's really become that big of a deal in Canada. The guy has been charged with kidnapping, beating the snot out of his girlfriend, and telling her that she's lucky it was done in the States, because if it had been done in Russia, it would have been much worse. And I understand that this is all alleged and that he is accused, but I'm pretty sure that if that was my co-host on my radio show, he would not be coming into studio with me.
And you're right. But sports is a different thing. And we want sports to be good. We really do. And partly because, I mean, I want my kids to play sports, so not every sport, but I want them to play sports because I think it's good in terms of instilling discipline. I think it's good in terms of keeping kids out of trouble generally. I think it's just good to have physical activity in your life. But I want I have two sons and a daughter. I want them all to play sports and enjoy themselves and enjoy it the way I enjoyed playing sports growing up. Once you get to the professional level of sports, and you know this, and we all see this, it's not about the moral calculus of what's happening. And maybe there's information that Colorado has about Semyon Varlamov that none of us have, and they know something that allows them to comfortably put him right back out there. I think one of the reasons it's not a big deal in Canada is because the way they did it is they started him on Friday night, and their nationally televised game was on Saturday, and that's where they retire Adam Fitzgerald, all that. But what this is you have what really was appalling to me in all of this was just the way they did it. Because, I mean, at this point, I think we're all a little bit inured to starting the guy who's being charged almost. I mean, not completely numb to it, but there's a little bit of that. But the way Patrick Roy described it, yeah, my friend Michael Farber, in Montreal native, obviously, noted that that Patrick Roy, who was accused of a domestic assault, charges dropped way back when he was a player, said, you know, he compared it to his flight from Montreal to Denver when he was traded to Colorado, said, you know, why wait? I didn't wait when I was traded to Colorado, as if it's the same thing, as if there's a moral equivalency there. And then the Avalanche talk about how, you know, he becomes a rallying point, this goaltender. Semyon Varlamov becomes a guy who's been through a lot, the same way that Riley Cooper, after he had a great game for the Philadelphia Eagles the other day, had been through a lot. Yeah, well, there's a reason for that. We're going to find out. It's very rare. And sadly, and really kind of tragically, it's rare that domestic assault cases involving famous people and rich athletes wind up really going all the way. Because either there's not enough evidence, it's a he said, she said, there's money involved, there's settlements, whatever it is. But we're going to find out how this story ends. And it's very possible that the Colorado Avalanche, if it comes to pass that he's guilty of everything he's been accused of and he's found guilty, it's going to look awful. And you know what? They're going to care more if that happens. Let's say it happened. Let's say in 3 months, he's convicted, goes to jail, maybe even deported. When that happens, the Colorado Avalanche will care less about looking bad. They will care less about being painted as monsters, or at least insensitive, teenier jerks. They will care less about that than the fact they just lost their number one goaltender.
Of course.
And that's the calculus of pro sports. And we all know it. We just it's ugly when we get to see it.
But if that does happen, then the narrative changes to look what the Avalanche have been through, that they're battling after having lost their goaltender.
Mm-hmm. And that'll be true to an extent because it'll be harder. But this is, again, this is pro sports. Patrick Roy didn't get back into the NHL to lose. Patrick Roy didn't get back in the NHL to compromise. He didn't get back in the NHL to be anything other than Patrick Roy. And we've seen it in good ways already. I mean, this team started 12-1. They've done really, really well. And this is a case where it doesn't look quite as good.
Finishing up with Bruce Arthur. Bruce, I find it interesting that we're talking about holding athletes to standards. And I want to ask you about Rob Ford, because it's been fun to follow your Twitter feed while the saga has unfolded, and it doesn't seem like...
We could have done the whole segment on this, by the way.
We could do 2 hours on it. It's just not in the mandate of TSN, unfortunately. But I would like to squeeze a few minutes in if we could. Does anything shock you anymore?
It would have shocked me if he'd gone on his radio show on Sunday and said, I'm taking a leave of absence or I'm quitting. That's the only thing that's really going to shock me at this point, because, I mean, if you're in the journalism community in Toronto, you've actually heard more than has been reported already.
Sure.
This is a guy with a serious addiction problem, a guy who's probably been driving drunk for years, by the way, which is something that hasn't gotten a lot of play, a guy who will lie about literally anything. And the fact that his brother went on his radio show on Sunday and said, you're not as honest as the day is long, is kind of confirms that there's a real alternate reality going on here.
Yeah, but he also said it on a 23-hour day, Bruce, which was made it even better.
It really is. It really is incredible at this point that Toronto is being run by what appear to be hillbilly gangsters, and that is what we have. That is what we elected. That's what we got. And there is no mechanism in Toronto to remove the mayor, short of the province stepping in, which is an extraordinary thing in itself and not necessarily a good thing.
Right. Well, that happened in the city of Laval about 6 months ago. They put it under trusteeship after they hit their third mayor.
Or I think after gangsterism, right?
Well, no, it was the third mayor, honestly, was found, I think, wearing women's clothing. He called up an escort service and they showed up at the door and he was wearing women's lingerie. So, oh, sure. All things considered, I mean, that's nothing compared to what we've seen this year.
No, I mean, I will say Quebec has made a hell of a run at the mayorship thing. but I really do think Rob Ford is an extraordinary case. I wish Denny Coderre the best of luck in Montreal. I mean, he hasn't been arrested yet. Good job. but Rob Ford is, the police have been surveilling this guy for months. The police have been, they had a spy plane, they attached tracers to his buddy's car, and now Rob Ford's driver and friend, Sandra Lee, he's being charged with extortion. I don't know where this is going to go, but we in Toronto, I really think, I keep saying it, the simplest way to kind of explain it to someone who doesn't live in Toronto, when you live here, when this Rob Ford stuff happens, you kind of feel like you're on drugs.
Well, in that case, when that tape comes out, it's going to be like Pink Floyd with the Wizard of Oz and all rolled into one.
Well, there's two things, by the way. It's more than the 90-second clip that Robin Doolittle of the Toronto Star saw. She said that. There's an edited version. It's a longer version. And there's a second tape. We don't know what's on it yet.
Right. I heard rumors today about that tape, and I can only shudder. I hope the rumors I heard were not true.
Well, you just wait. There, I will say this. There are miles left to run.
Oh,
and I those miles will not always be pleasant, is my prediction.
Bruce, I look forward to following your Twitter feed as it goes along, and hopefully we can speak soon down the road.
You bet, Dave.
Appreciate you staying up late for us. Thanks a lot.
See you, man.
Have a good night. There he goes, Bruce Arthur from the National Post. That was fun, eh, John? I know you didn't talk, but
doesn't matter.
It was fun to listen,
always
right?
Always pleasant. I follow Bruce Arthur also on Twitter.
Yeah,
he's great.
We're sitting here in office and... in our studio, and right there's Bruce Arthur's article from today about fighting in the NHL and Ray Emery, which is another thing I wanted to get to, but only so much time in the day, right?
We got to pay those bills too.
We do got to pay those bills, so we're going to take a little break on the Kaufman Show right now, and we'll be back, talk a little sports. John's got an update for you in 10 minutes, then we'll be joined by Torben Rolfsson. Phone lines are open, 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. We'll be back. Sound of the funky drummer. Music hitting your heart, cause I know you got a soul. Listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing. Giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating. In the rhythm while I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need. Our freedom of speech is freedom of
power. Fight the power. Fight the power.
Welcome back. It's the Kaufman Show on TSN 690. Dave Kaufman, John Kakalakis, Jimmy G on the board. Jay Farrar is at home eating matzo ball soup. I just assume that's what everybody does when they're sick, right, John?
I hope he's proud listening tonight, at least.
I hope so.
I got big shoes to fill.
Yes, you do. You do. And you're doing an admirable job, sir. Looking forward to your next sports update coming up in a few minutes. But first, we got times. We got dead times to meet. I don't know what the hell that was.
Good times.
That's it. Good times, especially because we've got Andrew from Montebello on the phone. Chef, what is going on, my man?
Mr. Kaufman.
How are you?
Mr. Kakalakis, nice to hear your voice.
Likewise.
Honestly, I didn't think I would be talking about football in the terms that I'm going to be speaking about. Bullying, hazing, racial slurs. You know, this is stuff you would basically here in a high school gym and a high school atmosphere with kids who don't know any better.
But it's, yeah, not professionals, right?
Exactly. In the National Football League. They sound like you'd have to send down Knuckles Nyland down there to give these people a bit of a talking to on what bullying is. And I can't even understand, even fathom, that people at this...
Sorry, we lost you there, Chef.
Sorry, buddy. I haven't moved.
Oh, okay. Well, try it again.
I can't even fathom it, the position that these individuals are at to be actually have hazing and stuff like that going on. I mean, it blows me away.
It's unbelievable to think about. And, you know, you ever read Wayne Gretzky's autobiography?
No, I haven't.
John, have you? I remember reading it when I was a kid. And one of the things he talks about is the hazing when he was a rookie with Edmonton. And I think they shaved his entire body. Like, they strapped him down on a table and shaved his entire body and then made him, I think, go naked through an airport.
I'm trying to picture all that.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot to... Sorry for the visual, everybody.
It's not a pretty sight. Actually.
No, and I mean, I remember years ago, Red Fisher writing a story about when the Canadians welcomed him sort of into the fold, like his hazing experience on a train at the hands of, like, Doug Harvey and Dickie Moore and all the rest of that. But it was a messed up story. And it really makes you wonder about the culture that we admire so much.
But you know what even kills me, beats me up even worse, are the certain people, players/players, football people, actually came out and said that he should have handled it like a man.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he should have gone and beaten the crap out of him, and that would have just made it all better.
Well, you know, that doesn't happen anymore with National Football League players. What would actually probably happen is he would have to pull the Glock up to the side of the guy's head and say, you talk about my mama like this, I'm going to blow your frickin' brains out. Because that's what the National Football has gotten to.
Jimmy, don't worry. He said frickin'. I think we're okay.
Yeah,
I just saw Jimmy have a heart attack on the other side of the board.
No, Jimmy, I'll keep it clean. You know I always...
Chef, thanks for the call, man. John's got to do an update, but great hearing from you.
Thank you, buddy.
As always, we appreciate it. This is The Kaufman Show on TSN 690. You can follow me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. John, is it? The John Kay Show. Jimmy still isn't on Twitter, but you can call him and say hi at 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. Torben Rolfson around the corner on The Kaufman Show. Yeah, we're back. Arkell's Oh, the Boss is coming on The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, John Kakalakis sitting in for Jay Farrar. Still having fun?
Always having fun in this studio.
Good man, good man. Follow John on Twitter at The John K Show. I'm at The Kaufman Show. I guess I could have been at The Dave K Show, but I don't know. I went with I figured I'd take that. Milk everything I could out of that Kaufman name that Andy Kaufman made so famous.
Yeah, I love my name, but
30-something years ago.
Oh, that's great. But it's just my name. My name is just a bit too long, so I had to.
I had this conversation on Sunday morning in this studio, I believe, with Abe Hefter and Amanda Stein.
Yeah, I was listening.
Let's bring in our next guest. He is the resident in-house Kaufman Show comedian. He joins us every Monday from his beautiful lair in sunny Vancouver. No, that's not true. I'm lying to you all again. From rainy Vancouver, from foggy Vancouver. And in fact, Torben had been talking to us about the crazy fog a couple of weeks ago, and he finally put up some photos of it on his Facebook page. My goodness, he was not kidding. There was fog covering all of Vancouver. Just the tops of the buildings were visible. It was incredible. Anyway, Torben can be followed on Twitter at VanGuy, and he can be heard every Monday night on The Kaufman Show. Hello, Torben.
Gentlemen, how are things going?
We are good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well.
Good. What's going on?
Well, it's been a crazy weekend, as you know.
Yeah, you got to pray at the altar of Pavel Bure.
That's right. That was going on, too. But I was thinking about the NFL. You know, Dolphins, Buccaneers. Who would have thought the Jaguars would be Florida's most stable NFL franchise?
Wow. Wow. Well put. Well put.
I mean, Miami went from not aware of any accusations of bullying to suspending Richie Incognito in about 14 hours. Who cracked this case open? Ace Ventura? And did you know Incognito won the 2012 South Florida Good Guy Award?
No, he did not.
He did. It's voted on by the Miami sports media.
No!
The runner-up was the Colombian drug lord.
Is that for real?
That is for real.
Wow. Wow. Wrong.
The San Francisco Chronicle are no longer going to refer to Washington, D.C.'s NFL team as the Redskins. Also, the Minneapolis Star Tribune will no longer refer to Josh Furman as a quarterback. It was a super rare occurrence in the NFL yesterday. There were no games between two teams with winning records, sort of like the NHL's Battle of Alberta.
Yeah, but just a lot more money involved.
Right. Did you see an Edmonton gas station bathroom was named one of the best in the country? I'm surprised it beat out Rexall Place.
Rob Ford's seal of approval or what?
Oilers are 1-5 at home. And here's wishing Leaf Dave Boland a speedy recovery after a leg injury
at
the Canucks Saturday.
Yeah, it was rough.
He's got a bunk bed at Vancouver General, and the Sedins have signed his cast.
That's very nice of them.
The Twins signed 4-year extensions also.
Yeah.
The Canucks, longest extensions in Vancouver since Brent Sopel's mullet. And Luongo looks great so far. I guess he's answered questions about, you know, how focused he'd be coming back. People were speculating he felt stuck or trapped here, like his Vancouver contract was a prison sentence or something. Maybe it's Stockholm Syndrome. He's come to identify with his captors. Other goalies not doing as well. The Blackhawks, Nikolai Habibulin, has allowed 10 goals on his last 45 shots faced. Are opposing teams listening to Ronald Reagan's Brandenburg Gate speech in the dressing room? Tear down this wall.
Right up my
Columbus,
alley.
Columbus, Ohio. Sorry, go ahead.
I just said that one's right up my alley. That's
okay. Yeah. Columbus, Ohio is going to host the 2015 NHL All-Star Game. They were first delayed by the lockout, then the Olympics. Sorry, NHL media, your luck has finally run out.
You're stuck. Next year, you are stuck for a weekend in February in Columbus.
Did you see that survey they had a while back?
You're going to have to refresh my memory.
They finished 30th out of 30 away cities. NHL media all voted on it, and they finished dead last as places to visit to work.
Wow. You'd think that if they added in, like, the Hockeyville cities, they'd still finish last, right?
That's right. Of course. And finally, thanks to Andrew Wiggins, TSN announced plans to televise every Kansas college basketball game this season.
Wow.
It'll be the first thing from Kansas on Canadian TV since The Wizard of Oz.
Nice. The second Wizard of Oz mentioned in the last 20 minutes.
Oh, I wish I'd been. I'll have to catch the podcast.
Yeah, I that's really weird.
I always do.
I know you do, Torben, and I always appreciate having you on. Great stuff as always, and we'll catch you next Monday night.
Great. Thanks for having me. Good night, Montreal.
Thank you. Follow him on Twitter at VanGuy, Mr. Torben Rolfson. Who will not make you scared in the least, I promise. One more segment left on the Kaufman Show tonight. Give us a call, 514-790-1860, 1-866-896-2546. We'll be back. Welcome back. Running out of time here on the Kaufman Show. Little old school Kings of Leon to bring us in there. As long as we turn it down before the swear words start, we're all good. And we're all good, safe by the skin of our noses. Jimmy G on the board. John Kakalakis here as well tonight. Jay Farrar at home. Again, I'm going to stick with that. Eating matzo ball soup.
Get well soon, Jay.
That's right. Get well soon. We'll see Jay next Monday night. Follow him on Twitter at the Farrar Side. John is at the John K. Show. I'm at the Kaufman Show. And we have Travis on the line, 514-790-1690. I feel like you should say it like that, it being 690. 1690. 1-866-896-2546. Travis in North Carolina. Good evening, Travis.
Hello, Dave and John.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
That Varlamov thing, huh? Ew.
Pardon?
The Varlamov thing,
Is right. You know, and the thing I keep coming back to, and people look at me a little cockeyed, but I'm so sure that if this was the Montreal Canadiens, he would not be starting.
No, I mean...
If it was the Toronto Maple Leafs, he would not be starting. I'm convinced of it. And by the same token, if it was the quarterback...
Any team.
Imagine if it was Peyton Manning of the Denver Broncos as compared to the Colorado Avalanche.
Man, it would be live on CNN still.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. And go ahead.
The only market where I think it would have been important as an NHL story, what maybe would have been Detroit, maybe Boston, but mostly just Detroit.
You mean American cities where it would have mattered?
Yeah.
I asked Jonah Carey today on Facebook if it was getting play in Denver, and he said yes, it was getting a lot.
Really?
Yeah, which I was surprised and impressed by. $5,000 bail.
Yeah.
That seems awful low to me, which means, and again, like Bruce Arthur said earlier, maybe the Avalanche know something and they feel confident about this. But, and the only thing that raises my antenna a bit is the fact that it was $5,000 bail. But the optics on this are so terrible that if I was the Colorado Avalanche, I don't care if I'm 12-1. Go out and trade for a goaltender.
It's really ugly, and the NHL is only lucky that no one down here cares. Because that would be really, really bad press.
Yeah.
If that was picked up on ESPN.
Well, how about if he becomes, I don't know if you saw the other story, a Russian official saying that this was a conspiracy to prevent him from starting in the Olympics as Russia's goaltender.
Yeah, that's a bit interesting. What, are they going to blame reporters for that now? Are they going to arrest them for that too?
Yeah, I don't understand. It seems so messed up to me. And again, if this was my co-host, he would not be co-hosting the show with me. I know that's a really simplistic answer, and my co-host doesn't make $5 million a year. Sorry, John. Maybe one day.
Hopefully.
But, I mean, I think you get my point. It's not right. I think it's incredibly wrong that the Avalanche will continue to make money off the Varlamov brand of selling Varlamov jerseys.
But it's what we spoke before the show, that $5,000 bail, to me too, it doesn't make any sense.
It's weird.
It's
weird.
It's the two worlds.
Pardon?
It's the two worlds. If you're rich and famous, you play by different rules. You may be accountable to the same general rules, but you don't have to go about the system the same way.
Hmm. Well, isn't that messed up? I don't know if it's necessarily the very important person's act, because, again, if it was Peyton Manning, if it was Troy Tulowitzki, and I'm using just Denver athletes right now, if it was random Denver MLS guy, it wouldn't be the same. I'm convinced of it. And I don't know. It on its face, I'm surprised that it didn't get as much play up here. I was honestly surprised with the Habs playing in Colorado on Saturday night. I thought that was going to be the story. And far from it. I felt like it was a difficult subject to broach on the morning shows this weekend. I tried bringing it up Saturday and Sunday. Didn't get a huge reception for it.
Patrick Roy.
Well, that's
it. More people cared about that. More people cared about Patrick Roy than they cared about that.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you know, I've tried to mention it without discussing Patrick Roy's past, but, I mean, Patrick Roy broke down a door and scared his wife so much that she called the cops, and the charges ended up being dropped.
And maybe, honestly...
I'm sorry?
Maybe it's just that people are tired of it and that they would much rather forget that this side of professional sports exists.
Yeah, but this side of professional sports exists and allows it to continue, and this culture of domestic violence continues to be fostered, and that is just so messed up. And we're better than that. And I like sports, and I don't want to think of myself as watching sports so that it satisfies my brute, raw anger and emotions. That's not what sports is about for me. It's about so many other things. There was this wonderful ad with, what's her name? Is it Robin Roberts? She's a sportscaster, right?
Yes.
Okay, and she had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she has since survived the cancer. She's in remission. And it was this commercial on ESPN the other day, and it was her talking about how when she was sick in the hospital with chemo, undergoing chemo, on a Sunday afternoon, she could turn on the TV and get comfort from watching her football team play. And that's awesome. That is what sports is about. It's that feeling you get. I hate having to discuss the contrast.
And even though there is that beautiful element to it, what isn't discussed still, even when there's no big scandal, and even the NFL, how many third and fourth round draft picks are there on the practice squad who might get cut and lose their contract tomorrow?
That's America, baby.
It is.
Robin Roberts, thank you. Jimmy is the co-host of Good Morning America.
Yeah, but she was on ESPN.
For a long time. Long time. Absolutely. This is what we come back to, and this is why I love sports talk radio, is the ability to talk about these big picture issues. I find that way more interesting than, talking about Desharnais and whether he's going to go to Hamilton or be on the fourth line.
Well, the optics behind all the noble efforts of humanity in sport is a lot more interesting than the Cardinals on base percentage in the World Series.
Well, especially when it was as low as it was during the World Series, right?
He could have hopped over it.
There's nothing positive to talk about there. But I do love having this platform to be able to, I mean, if you think about the things that we went through tonight, it was a pretty interesting show.
Major issues.
Never get enough Rob Ford.
Well, honestly. And what do you guys make of that down there? I mean, I saw CNN briefly talking about it earlier.
Well, unless you watch CNN 24 hours a day, you might see it once a week. The way the news cycle works, you know, they'll do that one story, and they'll repeat the story every you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, but it's a 3-minute story at the absolute most.
Max Harris ringing in on Twitter, trying to see if this show can stretch past 1 a.m. if I answer this question. He tweets, "If this were a musician you liked, would you insist that the show you had tickets to be canceled?" And you know what? That just happened in Canada. Chris Brown had a concert scheduled for... playing at the waterfront in Dartmouth or Halifax on Labor Day weekend. And there was such a hue and cry raised about him playing this concert that they canceled it.
That was good.
They canceled it. And I remember I was in Nova Scotia when the concert was announced and sort of the hue and cry had started. And they had his manager come on one of the shows, or maybe it was the promoter of the concert, saying, well, the Rolling Stones don't get this kind of guff, and you know, and trying to name all of these old bands, and you know, Johnny Cash never faced this back in the day. You know, if you told me that the Stones beat their wives, I would not be paying the money I was paying to go see that concert. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Well, that's
Chris Brown is to me is the best example of it, because there might be no bigger douchebag on the planet than Chris Brown.
At least not in music.
At least not in music, yeah.
And speaking of music, you do have the best playlist in sports radio, I must tell you.
Wow. Wow. Thank you.
Then again, you don't play like all the terrible jock jams on repeat, so it's not really hard to be the best.
But, you mean like y'all ready for this?
Yeah, or the train thing with the train. Ugh, my God.
Well, what train thing?
The train song.
Like the train, like the... Oh God! What am
Crazy
I?
Crazy Train, Black Sabbath?
No. You mean that soft rock Counting Crows-ish kind of train, right?
No, you're not gonna get me to sing it. I swear to God.
What am I thinking of? You got to give me a lyric or a name of a song or something, just to tell me we're talking about the same thing here.
Come on, ride the train.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. I was on that. You know, there's a band named Train that's fairly awful that I would never play on the show. Well, you definitely get your fill of Canadian music in North Carolina by listening to The Kaufman Show, that's for sure.
Oh, indeed.
Still planning on making the trek up to Montreal for the Blue Jays-Mets series?
You can't keep me away.
Good stuff, man. Looking forward to meeting you.
Cheers.
Travis, have a great night.
You as well.
Thank you for calling. Jimmy, John, I think that pretty much wraps up The Kaufman Show tonight.
This hour flew.
Yeah, well,
hour and 15
the hour does it always does fly by. I'm trying to think. You know, I'm trying to go back to this. I mean, the Max's tweet. If it were a musician you liked, would you insist the show you had tickets to be canceled? And
I went and watched the Giants versus the Eagles.
Right.
Michael Vick was the starting quarterback.
Okay.
I still went.
Well, yeah, he paid his debt to society. I mean. People do things to people that are way worse than what Michael Vick did to dogs and get less jail time.
And I'm quite the
yes,
forgiving.
Jimmy.
Yes, I saw the Paul McCartney concert in Quebec in July.
Yeah,
I
mean, and he got busted for dope in Japan. So
exactly.
God.
So technically, he's also a criminal. He has a criminal record. So no, but seriously, I mean, if you want to look at it from that point of view. Anybody with a criminal record, do they qualify at the same level?
Well, this is the question that we were saying before about Varlamov, right? Where is that line? Because I'm pretty sure I know where the line is. The line is at rape and murder. Anything before you hit that rape-murder line, and you can continue to do whatever you want, scot-free pretty much, with your $5,000 bail. So someone out there is wearing a Varlamov jersey. And someone out there is not wearing an Aaron Hernandez jersey. Because that line is when you fire the bullet. So what's the response to that?
Makes sense.
Go Avalanche? It makes sense, yeah. But
the rape and murder, you're right. That seems to be the line.
You can be charged with kidnapping and still play for your team.
With a $5,000 bail.
Yeah. I mean, but if it was $50,000 bail or $100,000 bail or $5 bail, it doesn't matter. It's kidnapping. It's not murder. It's not rape. It's messed up. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Listen up, kid, it's not what you think. Stayed out too late, had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house if your house burns down. There's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand. Davy and me, face down in our soup, some French restaurant, I saw Riviere de Loup. Last night at a tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
Been listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN 690. For John Kakalakis and Jimmy G, I'm Dave Kaufman. See you next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?